Amen. Amen. I'm glad we don't serve a dead Savior. Praise God. Amen. That's good, brother. Good. I love it. I tell you, haven't you got some help today already? I mean, the preacher coming in and just giving us the early thing with just the men. I mean, that on that dark council. Amen. I mean, I thought that was when Brother Chaney or Brother Sammy gave me advice. Dark counsel, amen. I don't know, I'm just, you know, amen. And then Brother Gunther's up here, and he's like, appointments with disappointments. I'm like, that's what my wife called our wedding. I'm identifying with this preaching. It's helping me, amen. I hope it's helping you, amen. Oh, brother, I tell you, it's been good, though, hasn't it? I love it. I love it. Iron sharpeneth iron, and I love just, you know, preachers need to be preached to. We need help. We need God to help us, and the giver needs to get, you know, every once in a while. And it's just been good. It's helped me, and I'm praying the Lord will just continue. But this morning, you know, confronting the culture, amen. And I agree, we have to do that. But I know how we do that in simplicity. You combat error with truth. That's as easy as it gets. You combat error with truth. My pastor used to tell it, you probably have, but one of the treasurers, you know, of the United States, there was a time when someone came and asked him, they said, oh, the money crosses your desk and then it goes into circulation. You must know everything about counterfeit money. And he said, I know nothing about counterfeit money. He said, I've spent my life studying the genuine. He said, so I know when error comes across. He said, when something that's counterfeit comes across my desk. And I'm glad we've got the genuine, amen. I'm glad of that. Thank God for old time religion, amen. And I want you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter six, if you will. And we'll look at one verse right here, familiar verse. And I pray the Lord will help us with this. And kind of go along, the preacher began the revival or the conference with preaching on the landmarks, the ancient landmarks. And this will kind of go along with that a little bit. But it just reminds us, men, of what God's called us to do and where God's called us to stand. And I pray the Lord will help us, all right? Let's pray. Lord, help me this morning. And God, you preach through me. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. So, Lord, would you just take this message. Help us today, Lord. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank God I've got three of our fellas with us. Stand up, men, if you will. Amen. And real quick. All right. And it's the real smart-looking fellas right there. Amen. And debonair, good looking. What else y'all tell me to say, fellas? All right. But I'm glad they're with me. Amen. And they're getting a lot of help, and the Lord's touching them. And Austin, now he's my 20-year-old. He's my fireman, my firefighter. All right. And but boy, he's bought every book y'all got out there. Amen. I mean, he's keeping all of y'all in business. I mean, I'm telling you, he's gonna go back with a full library. And he's been up. He kept Brother Paul up half the night, you know, asking him questions and reading them books. You know, and what about this right here? Go to sleep, boy. I'm trying to get some rest. But anyway. Anyway, thank you, men, for being with me. Y'all sit down, if you will. You're right. It takes all kinds, doesn't it? Amen. The preacher asked him when he got up. He sat down. I said, did you just give a disclaimer for me? You know, like watch out for it. You know, whatever he says, I'm not really responsible for. You know, is that kind of the, you know, he's already given me. I'd have had my truck parked up here on the grass and had a for sale sign in it if he just gave me full rein of whatever I was doing, you know. So anyway, but Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, there's no doubt, before I even get into this, I see in this verse, he said, stand you in the ways and see. He said, just take a look around. And when you do that, that's when you see this culture that's around us. You see the battles that we've got to face, all right? And that you'll see the culture that you've got to deal with. You're going to have to deal with the critics. You're going to have to, that's another battle. You're going to have to face those that, you know, they don't like what you do. They don't want what you do. They're not what you are. But you're always going to have them. I mean, and then you've got the contemporary crowd and doing their thing. You've got those that are changing. You're always going to be dealing with that. You're going to deal with the conceited, the Pharisees, if you will. All of those people are people that we are battles that we face. And we realize that they're going one way and the Word of God is going another. But then we have, though, in this Bible, the beliefs that are fixed in our heart. Amen. I'm talking about what we believe. I remember Brother Seitler coming to our church and preaching when I was a young man, and he would talk about the Word of God, and he said, it's our rule of faith. That's what we believe, and it's our rule of practice. That's how we live, how we worship. Say amen. I'm saying, brother, and that's true, and as a young man, I understood that this Bible is where I get my doctrine. This Bible, brother, you understand, this what we've got, these old paths right here. He said in this verse, stand in the ways and see, but he said, ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. And so that's the fixed area. And I understand they're previous paths that we go down. Others have already trod these paths. You're not going down something that somebody else hadn't already went down before you. I'm not having to make a new path, thank God. I'm glad that I've got previous paths that others have already gone down. By the way, they're proven paths, aren't they? No doubt, brother, God's already proved to you how real he is, and brother, that his word is true. And brother, that right there seems to blot out all the rest that we have to deal with. But brother, you and I, it's not just that we can live them now. As I listened to the good preaching, and Brother Neil laying out, talking about that seed last night, he's got a vision for way down the road of what God's going to be doing, well past what's happening right now. And you realize what we have, men, we've got to give it to somebody else. It dies with you if you don't pass it on to somebody else. It dies with you. But brother, if we pass it on, then it lives on. He lives on. Amen. But that's what we're talking about. And then the blessings that follow. He said, you walk therein, he said, and you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. And I'm just telling you, God blesses his scripture. God always blesses his word. And then God blesses our stand that we take, the stand that you and I have to make. And then God is always going to bless those that just stay. I mean, plant your feet and brother, hey, live it, preach it. And I mean, till the day you die. But he made the statement here in this verse. He said, stand you in the ways and see. He said, but ask for the old paths. Amen. Ask for the old paths in particular. I want to preach just a few minutes on give me that old time religion. Amen. Give me that old time religion. It's not just a coined phrase. Amen. When we say old time religion, I'm glad I am an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. Amen. Every bit of that is still right. Independent. Amen. We're not part of the Southern Baptist Convention, the Northern Baptist Convention, the Southeastern Baptist Convention. I don't know what all conventions they've got, but we don't got anybody, thank God, headquarters calling down, telling us what we got to preach, telling us what we can't preach, telling us what we got to do, telling us what we don't got to do. I'm glad we are independent, amen. Now, we're so independent, if we was a Lone Ranger, we wouldn't let Tonto ride with us. I realize that, amen. I'm saying it's right to be an independent and then Baptist, praise God. Hey, that just means the right doctrine, the right beliefs, where we stand, what we do. And I believe that's right. No doubt about that. And then, and fundamental, praise God. I mean, just absolutely. When we say fundamental, it's not, again, people are like, oh, that's a saying. That's just a coin phrase. Brother, fundamental means we believe these fundamentals of the faith, amen. We love these fundamentals of the faith. We stand on these fundamentals of the faith. We have convictions about these fundamentals that we stand in, that we preach. But now, when I think of all that, think of what we, so what is, what makes up that old time religion, amen? Well, number one, we've got the right master. Hey, we've got the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all right? And I remember we had a young preacher preaching in our church one time, and yeah, I love hearing what young preachers say. I borrow all of it, and then I just pre-preach it, amen. And they were preaching on the resurrection, and he was talking about the resurrection. He said, you go down to the graveyard. He said, you go down to where they buried Muhammad, and you find Muhammad bones down there. He said, you go down there where they buried Confucius, and there's Confucius bones down there. You go down where they buried Buddha, and there's Buddha bones down there, amen. But you go down where they laid the Son of God, and there's an empty grave. Amen. Hey, and boy, he just tore it up. Amen. And we were all shouting the victory, and I mean, just enjoying it. But hey, he was talking about our Lord and Savior. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. And I thank God, brother, he's alive and well. Oh, brother, he's on the throne right now. And one of these days, he's coming back. He's going to get us out of here. Brother, it'd be a wonderful thing if the rapture took place. Hey, let them come find our cars sitting here. Hey, 3 or 4 weeks from now, amen. They wouldn't know what to do with us. Hey, where are they at? Man, we've gone to see our Savior, praise God. But he's our master. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And then we've got the right manuscript. Boy, I tell you, Brother Domley, I mean, just preaching all good on that. Of course, he's ragging on Georgia Bulldogs. Something's wrong with him right there. Why couldn't he be here this morning? I already had something real good on that, amen. You know, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, no, little puppies, little puppy dog. You know. And I'm like, yeah, Domley, amen. At least he didn't get beat by Florida State. Whoa! Something to shout about, you know. And anyway, just tell him, amen. I'm sure he'll hear it anyway. All right. But the manuscript, hey, we've got nothing wrong with the Word of God. We know that. And I'm glad we do have an every word Bible. It's the Word of God. And so we don't question that. But hey, that right there, that's that old time religion I'm talking about. Standing on the Word of God. And then we've got, if you got the right manuscript, you got the right message. I mean, the gospel message. The doctrine is right. But hey, I'm talking about the doctrine, but the delivery is even right. Hey, don't we believe in old-fashioned preaching? Amen. The day we live, the Bible said in the last days, they get those fellas having itching ears, teachers having itching ears. Well, when you change preaching to teaching, you quit having altar calls. You don't have you don't teach and have an altar call. Hey, you're just giving them. You know what? Well, if they learned enough, that's great. You're dismissed and all. If you're teaching, it is absolutely more casual. You understand? There's no pressing for a decision. But Holy Ghost preaching, it brings you down to a decision. Amen. It brings you down to make brother a choice, and that's what preaching does. It always does that. But there's a difference in that. But I thank God for the preaching I've been under. And by the way, who's going to preach that Word of God? I thank God that old time religion involves the man of God. It involves the preacher, amen. You don't have the message. You got God gives us that manuscript and the message, amen. But it takes a man of God to stand and preach it. Fellas, I thank God for the men of God, you men of God that are here. I look at the men of God that God gave my pastor, Preacher Moore, Brother Preston Moore there at my home church, and where they picked me up on a bus and I got saved and called to preach, and he poured his life into me, and I love my man of God. 91 years old, he went on to be with the Lord, amen. And he got up at our church, I think I may have mentioned it, but he got up at our church preaching when he's about 90, and he said, people tell me I'm 90, and why am I still going, and why am I still preaching, and why am I still doing this? And he said, I still got something to say. Whoa, he did have something to say. He was preaching it, amen. But oh, Brother Howes, and brother, the influence, and those men I got to hear as a young man, Brother Mays Jackson and Brother Harold Seitler, Brother Bobby Robertson and all these. And then I look just sitting on the, man, they let me sit on the front row. I'm talking about now, I think number one, isn't that like in school, you sat on the front when like you misbehave. You know, when they got to keep an eye on you. You know, so, but I mean, we've got Dr. Gray with us. I mean, I'm so grateful, amen. You talk about, I used to go out to the soul winning clinic. You say, why'd you go out there? I want the devil preached out of me about soul winning. I want somebody, you know, it's like, you know how it is. Every once in a while it's good. You know, it's kind of like you heard about the chicken that got the hens, or the rooster that got the hens, and said, hey, y'all come with me. And they went down the road a little bit, and he came in, and he took them down to an ostrich farm. And he took them in there, and he showed them eggs that them ostriches were laying. And he said, I don't want to scare you, ladies. He said, I just want to show you what can be done. I didn't go down there. I didn't want to scare my people, but I want to show them what could be done. Amen. In a church. Hey, that's soul winning. Amen. And then Brother Sellers, praise God. Oh, I love Brother Sellers. Amen. I can understand him when he preaches. I mean, everything he said, nothing went over my head. Everything would just wham right there. Amen. So thank you, Brother Sellers. I love you. But just a man of God. And then Brother Chitty. I mean, Brother Chitty, just he'll be with us here. And yo, you ought to come to our church. He'll have on a pair of overalls. I mean, it'll be old-fashioned day, and he's like, do I have to wear these, brother? I'm like, if I'm wearing them, you're wearing them, amen. And he'll preach. Oh, brother, he'll preach up storm. Our people, if I died tomorrow, they'd want him to come be the preacher, amen. But, I mean, God's man. And I tell you one, I've been missing all week, and y'all already know that's your daddy. I love your daddy, amen. I mean, God's man, the preacher. And I miss him being right there and just enjoying it and shouting it out. But I miss him, amen. But here, those are the men of God, you understand, that have handled the word of God in my life. And brother, they've helped me. And I say, you men of God, in church, you realize when you've got, you realize here, the pastor that you've got, the Bible says in Jeremiah, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You ought to thank God for your man of God. Say amen. Hey, and I don't know, I get a lot of flack for that. Well, you're a man worshiper, and you just exalt men. Hey, I esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Amen. And I'll do that till the day I die. Amen. And I'm grateful for the man of God. Hey, that old time religion, it has to do a lot. You look at your modesty. I'm talking about just good, clean, godly living. Amen. Hey, I know that involves a lot of areas of your life, but here it involves how you talk, how you walk, how you dress, every area, amen. But that's part of that old-time religion, amen. Hey, separation standards, they are right, praise God. Don't drop your standards, amen, especially in this day that we live. The right music, amen, like you've been hearing around here. The right mandate of soul winning, going out, knocking doors, running buses, bringing kids in. Hey, I wouldn't be up here if they hadn't to come got me, amen. I'm just an overgrown bus kid. That's my excuse. An overgrown, what would you expect out of a bus kid? Amen. Well, there you go. Amen. All right. We got the right manner of worship. Oh, brother. The Lord said, he said, they worship me, I'll worship me in spirit and in truth. Yes, I love truth. Amen. I mean, boy, preach that Bible to me. But I mean, you're right. If you came to, preacher, you're talking about different churches. If you came to our church, it's a little different. Now we've got here, y'all know what I say when I say when it gets on. Yeah. Now if you're like, what is, now you northerners are like, what does he mean? It got on. It got on. I don't know what to do with that. I mean, buddy, when God goes to move it and God goes to help it and God goes to touch it. And I mean, brother, the altars begin to get filled. And brother, it's not altar call time. They're coming down there to talk with God. And then you say, we don't do it. That's all right. But I'm going to encourage mine to come every time they can. Amen. And then a hand goes up and a tear goes to flowing. And we've got men that'll go to shouting. Amen. I've got some sitting back there. They'll go to running. Yeah, you're like, oh, come on. They still do that at Heritage, they do. Hey, and I mean, but in the ladies, they'll go to crying and woo, and raising their hands. Oh, I would never do that. Well, you ought to just come over. You'll enjoy it if you like it, amen. I'll tell you, it'll be good, amen. I mean, buddy, I like Brother Sammy down there. I like all that he says. Shoo, shoo. Man. And then, hey, when it really gets Brother Gunther's going, he's like, wow, wow. And then I like his other, what about that? Not that, what about that? Amen. And I mean, but hey, I'm just saying, praising God. And brother, brother Mays Jackson, he said, just get under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. But look, I say, give me that old time religion. Give me all of these things that I'm preaching about, amen. In Jeremiah right here, it's the old paths, amen, that I'm to walk in. He said they're the good way. Think about that, those old paths. It is the good way. It is the godly way. It's God's way, amen. Those paths were right. By the way, you're not to deviate from the paths. When you get on those paths and you think about, some people say, well, why would they get off the path? I think I got a better way. Why would you get off the path? I think I can. There's a shortcut. Maybe I can take a shortcut to get where I want to get and where I want to. That's what the new fellas are doing, you know. Well, let's take a shortcut. Let's bypass all this old time religion. And, you know, if we got a crowd, we got a, you know, that's all that matters. We got the following. We got the likes. We got the, hey, that's not what it's all about. I'd rather have a congregation than a crowd. And I'm grateful for it, but I want you to see this. I want you to understand these old paths that God gave us. Maybe they get off of it because they're looking for an easy way. But you, hey, when did God say it was going to be easy? Did you just hear the message? Amen. I mean, appointment with disappointment. Brother, God brings those things into your life. God allows those things into our life. In fact, what did he say in 2 Timothy? He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't want the disappointment. I don't want the hardness. Brother, the more he prays, yeah, it's amazing. When Brother Gunther preaches, he might as well dismiss everybody but me. Now, I know y'all are like, wonder who he's preaching to. Yeah, right here. Just like, I'm thinking, okay, I've done that. Yeah, I did that wrong too. And I did that 3 times wrong. I remember that. You know, and I'm like, you know, and I'm thinking about, he's talking about Paul, you know, what a blessing Paul and how Paul embraced his thing. And you know, I glory in it and everything. I ain't got there. You pray for me. I'm trying to get there, amen, but I ain't got there yet. You know, like, yay, give me the persecution. Yay, take them all from me, amen. Empty out the church, take all the money. That's right, I don't need nothing, amen. But I know that's when God's going to do me some good, so y'all pray for me, all right? But I do see this. I thank God for the old paths. Hey, give me that old-time religion, amen. Hey, 2 Samuel chapter 23, look there. Just turn with me real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 23, I'll just remind you of some things here that may be a help to you. And all of these, hey, bring into our mind this old-time religion that the Lord put us in, that he allows us to be a part of, amen. 2 Samuel, look in chapter 23 and look with me down in verse 11. Look in chapter 23 and verse 11. A man by the name of Shammah. After him was Shammah. These are the mighty men, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. When I see this right here, it's not just the paths that we need to go down, but this old time religion, it's that piece of ground right here that God's given us to defend, amen. And I say this to every one of us in here, this morning, that God has given you a piece of ground. Do you understand that when you think about where God puts you and what God allows you to do, brother, it's God that did that in man. I look back and 26 years I've been pastoring my church. I've only been in 2 churches in my life, the church I got saved in and the one I'm pastoring now. And God's been good, amen. It'll be 27 here at the beginning of the year, but I realized way back then if the Lord, the Bible said, I will give you pastors, then 26 years ago, God's orders to me were, you go down there to Locust. Well, it wasn't even Locust Grove then, it was Riverdale. Brother, in fact, Brother Gray, you remember preaching for us in the transition, don't you? You may have preached for us at Riverdale, but then in that auction barn, remember that? And the auction barn, y'all, that was between Riverdale and Locust Grove before we built. The auction barn is just that. On Friday night, they had auctions. they like auctioned off just stuff, not like animals and all that, but you know, just goods and stuff. They'd have an auction on Friday night. And then and Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, we used the building. And boy, we'd have church in there and all this. And then on Thursday night, they had wrestling. It was a multi-purpose building. There's no doubt about that. But I do think about it. I think about what here. Oh, brother. You say, well, it's hard to have meeting now if you don't have that. I mean, boy, look at this. Amen. This wonderful mosque that God's given you all here. I love it, amen, whenever we come down. Isn't that right, brother? Amen. It's so beautiful and what God's done in this fine Muslim place, amen. But we're not in a nice mosque. It's a building with no air conditioning. My ladies, you know, they'd put their makeup on, the eyelashes would run down, melt down, you know, down the side. My fellas with toupees, it would turn sideways and slide. You know, hey, sadly, dogs have run through, cats have jumped over the back wall. Rats. Oh, brother, one Wednesday night I'm preaching, and I mean, it just stopped. I could tell they were all like this. They weren't looking at me. They're like looking up on that thing right there. And finally, I was just like, God, you're dismissed. Amen. They come down, preacher, oh, while you're preaching, a rat was crawling across the top of that thing right there. Yeah, and rat's more important than the word of God, isn't it? Amen. All right. But that's what they're, but here, God, here. But the Lord put me in that place. Yeah. And that place may not mean anything to you. That piece of ground may not mean anything to you. But that piece of ground means everything to me. For all these years, hey, I get to pastor a group of people down there in Locust Grove. I've got to see a bunch of them get saved and grow in the Lord and called to preach and see God work in their life. And oh, brother, God's doing a good work, and I'm so thankful for that. And it is all God, and God gets the glory, amen. But I just say, by the way, he called me down there, not just when we had good crowds. Because otherwise, when you're running high, it's easy to be like, that's right, I'm the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. How about when they leave? And they don't just split, it like quadruple splits, you know? I mean, it was bad. I hear a preacher, Brother Gray, well, that split we had, you know, and it was really bad down there in Texas and everything. It was a split. Man, I had like somebody put dynamite under the chair. Boo! You know, who's left? I don't know. Well, preacher and his wife, there they are. Amen. Split. I'd love to have had a split. That would have been encouraging. But hey, you don't stay when it's good and leave when it's bad. You don't stay when it's high and leave when it's low. You don't stay while the offerings are in and coming good, and you don't leave whenever it gets low. If we're not careful, we make a statement like, well, God's through with me here. No, you got done with it a whole lot quicker than God did. Maybe you just ought to stay. You want to talk about staying? Hey, talk to all these men sitting right here. Talk to some of these fellas that are here, and talk to your preacher. Hey, come talk about, hey, learn to stay where God's put you. Amen. But see, it's a piece of ground that God gave. That's that to me. That's part of that old time religion. And it illustrates, brother, you and I, hey, stay with this book, stay with the conviction, stay with the preaching, stay with the doctrine. Then let me show you another. Look at me. Well, the preacher, we won't look at all these, but in Proverbs 22:28 and 23:10, where the preacher preached the other night, the old time religion is not just a path or like a piece of ground. It's illustrated right here with a point of reference, a landmark. And you know the landmark. He said, remove not the ancient landmarks. Over in Deuteronomy, he said, cursed be everyone. He said, cursed be he that removeth a landmark. And see, these landmarks that God gives us that the preacher preached so well on, I think of that, you know, we're just not to remove them. The old time religion is just this. We have no right to change anything in this book. The preacher was talking about verses being changed, but when you change the verse we don't change the book itself. But that's where our stand does not change, our convictions do not change. You don't drop those. They don't come and go. you've got to get, you've got to be convinced about it. At some point, you get in this Word of God and realize that's exactly what it says. That's exactly where God says to stand. So you are completely convinced about that. When you get convinced about that, that's where that word conviction comes from. Amen. You get a conviction because you are thoroughly convinced. By the way, that means there's no more argument about it. That means there's no more debate about it. That means there's no more question about it. That means this is the way it is. Hey, and this is where I'll stand, not just now, till the day I die. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. He said, remove not. Sounds like a command to me. In other words, remove not. He's telling us, you don't do that. And that's God's, thus saith the Lord. That's God speaking to you. Amen. But when he said, remove not, sounds like a correction also. Sounds like somebody must have been moving something, preacher. Sounds like somebody began to shift a little bit. Somebody began to say, well, it's not, if we just singing that one song, this, you know, from that contemporary group, that's not going to mess up my whole church. Just having that one fella in that kind of, you know, has moved directions and he's preaching somewhere else and with a different crowd. Just that one. I mean, he's such a good guy, you know. But you see, hey, it's a correction. He removed not. And he said, you don't move these landmarks. You don't mess around with that. Not just that, it sounds like it's, hey, you gotta be careful, it's a curse. Remove not, cursed be. Preacher, you said it right. I wish I understood everything I preached. I know you're like, well, you, the man of God, you don't understand everything. I don't understand half what I preach. But I do know what it says. Amen. Cursed be, what does that mean? What all does that entail? How far does that go? Does that touch my church? Does that touch my home? Does that touch the community? Does that touch the cause of Christ? You say, preacher, tell me. I said, I don't know. You know, you fill in the blank. I just know this, if the Lord said cursed be, I'm not messing with it. I'm just not going to mess with it, all right? And then I see what he said, and I think of what he said. It's a caution to you and I that are trying to already walk in them. You're already in them. He's just saying, man of God, stay where you're at. Hey, don't move a lick, amen. These landmarks, it's a point of reference that God put in place, amen. And that those that came before us, they just followed what God said. We're in that place now, and then there's going to come a day when there's a crowd after us that's going to have to be their point of reference, amen. But I'll just say, it's a good point, amen. Look in 1 Kings 21. Everybody turn to 1 Kings 21. 1 Kings 21. In 1 Kings 21, the familiar story of Naboth and Ahab. 1 Kings 21, the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. Now here's Naboth's answer. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my father. We see that old, give me that old time religion, that it's illustrated with the paths, the old paths that we're to take, with that piece of ground, with that point of reference. But right here, I see a planted vineyard. And it's a planted vineyard that we cannot sell. And we ought not be for sale, because you understand what God's given us. It wasn't ours in the first place. That was not Naboth's in the first place. It was his father's vineyard, amen. When I look at what God, this old time religion, it's our father's vineyard. It's his, amen. He's in charge. Now, I'll say if that be the case, then I have no right to sell it. I have no right to swap it. You see, it's my father's vineyard. This old-time religion, I tell you what it's been in my life. It's been a fruitful vineyard. Oh, brother, God is so blessed. I love this old-time way. I don't know any other way. I don't want to know any other way. That is, to me, the only way. Amen. And I'm grateful for it. I'm not. Hey, you're right, preacher. Different churches, different administrations all over here, all over this church. But we're all, by the grace of God, in the old-time way. Now, when I see that, I think about what God's done, and it is a fruitful vineyard. It was my father's vineyard. But it was there, and Naboth couldn't sell it because, I mean, the Lord commanded it back in the old, you know, in the Old Testament there, but he said, I can't sell this to you. It's my family vineyard. See, he had little children running around there, and one day he was going to be with the Lord, and let me just say, there was going to be some children, though, and he had something to leave for them. He had that fruitful vineyard, buddy, that they had, by the way, that they had partook of all their life, too. You young men, let me just say, you know what you're doing? You're partaking a little bit of the vineyard that God's given y'all around this church. Amen. I'm saying, and you know what? Hey, they don't want to sell it. They don't want to swap it. They want you to have it one day. Amen. They want you to carry it on and you to give it to that next crowd. Amen. That's what God's got you here for. Oh, well, we're just teenagers. No. You're that next generation. You hear me? You're that next generation that God's got coming on, that God's going to use. One day we'll sit up here. One day we'll sit right there. Hey, that generation will surpass this generation. And that's just the way God does it. That's just the way God's always done it. Amen. But hey, we cannot sell it. Naboth said, the Lord forbid me that I would give the inheritance of my fathers to you. Well, he's the king. He's the king. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of things come to you trying to get you to swap and sell out. But I just say keep on standing, amen. Hey, give me that old-time religion. And then I'll look here, 2 Kings 2. You're in 1 Kings. Just go to 2 Kings. You know where Elisha and Elisha, what they were doing? Elijah, the man of God. Brother, he's just that. He's been God's man. And God's brought this young man. He's the assistant. Fellas, you got your Elijah, and then you got your Elishas all sitting up here. All right. So your Elijah then says, well, I'm going to go down here. And you do what you want, fellas. You know. And by the way, there'll be a lot of things come your way. Oh, I tell you what. You're just an assistant pastor. Just. What do you mean? You mean God's given you the privilege of assisting the man of God and being a part of assisting this local church and assisting these people and assisting this work. It sounds like God has honored you. Yeah. And I realize in the day we live that here, if we're not careful, our pride and we want our glory and we, stand up, preacher, stand up. We're like, hey, just stay up here for me if you will, please, man of God. All right. Come here, son-in-law. Oh, this is going to be great. Yeah, so sorry, brother. I tell you what, I can't wait till he's out of the way. I can't wait. Oh, buddy, because I want a seat. Sit down. Oh, I want that seat. How about that? Yeah. Where's your daughter? Yeah, she left. All right. Now, wait a minute. You're wanting something before God's ready to give it to you. If God wants to even do that. If we're not careful, don't we? Well, one day when I pass, well, I don't know. Well, one day when I, how about you just be a good servant? Thank you. How about learn to be a good servant? See, the young boys in the day we live, they want what you've already built. How about here, if you're really all gung-ho about it, go find some place where there's nothing and there's nobody and just move there and start knocking doors and get a few people and start it in the garage, and then maybe it'll get big enough to get in the living room, and maybe it'll be good to get in the great room upstairs. Then maybe one day y'all will get to beat your building, and maybe one day, but here, God will build it, amen. You want what somebody else has got. Here, what happened to, and I know it's an earthly term, paying you dues. All that, and that's not here, that's not in there either, it's free, amen. But I just say, men, don't do that. What if God's called you to be an assistant pastor? Well, every assistant pastor one day needs to be an evangelist, no? Well, every assistant pastor needs to be a pastor. Not necessarily. One of the greatest joys of a man is if he ever realizes that's God's calling. And he says, the Lord's allowed me to not be that man, but to help that man. Telling me God can't call a man for a lifelong work to be an assistant and glorify God. Well, but my aspiration, I know, our aspirations. And here, this world has made us feel that we're not a success unless we're that and that and that. You know, if we hadn't done what they've done and we don't have what they have and we're not, I'm just telling you, I don't know any greater position than that of being a servant and helping in the work of God. The truth is, if you ever, and see, they don't get that sometimes, but the truth is, when you have the position, that just means you're the greater servant. Is that right? I mean, here, oh, I've got the position. I what? Yeah, then you know, you're going to be chiefest of all. He said, you're going to be servant of all. Amen. Hey, that just meant, you know, pastoring the church where I'm at now just means I got a whole lot more people to serve. Amen. A whole lot of service I need to do. A whole lot of service got to be going on all the time. And that's what God wants. But right here, you see, there's the picture of it. Elijah goes on and there's a mantle. The mantle here is not the seat. It's not the position. The mantle that's left is the old time religion. The mantle that we can all pick up, a mama can pick up, and a daddy can pick up, and the men can pick up, and a lady can pick up, and the teenagers can pick up. We can all say, by the grace of God, give me that old time religion. That's what we're dealing with. Then I'll give you one more. I want you to look with me, if you will. See, to me, by the way, that's the preacher's mantle. Yeah, you got a planted vineyard, you got the preacher's mantle. But I want you to look here in 2 Timothy 2 at a verse that we all already know. I was going to preach on that. Well, I will. Protecting wall. You could just write that if you want it in your outline, okay? Protecting wall is just that wall that Nehemiah built. Preacher, this is good because you're talking real. You're like again convicting me with all this teaching and everything on this confronting the culture. And I'm not. Look, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on two Facebook or Instaham or you know, any of that. I don't do any of that, and I realize that. But the reason I don't is not, oh, preacher, you're so spiritual that you just halos, you know, shine over your head because you're too godly for that. No, y'all, I don't get on that stuff because I'm too worldly. I'm a smart aleck. I'm sorry. I've got the gift of aggravation. And I would love to, when I see somebody doing something wrong like that, to be, you are a nut. And you're right. I'd get dark counsel, all right. You know, dark counsel, maybe black. I mean, just no counsel, really. I mean, I'd want to get into it. But Nehemiah is our example. They came to him and they, and look with me, let's get to Nehemiah. Look over, I believe it's in chapter 4. If it's not, I didn't write it down, so y'all just help me, all right. In Nehemiah, is it 6? Oh, no. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you, brother. Is that my people? Thank you, fellas. If you knew how often they did that at my church and helped their preacher out, thank you, fellas. All right. Nehemiah chapter 6, look with me here. He said in verse 2, Sanballat Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort. And I love this. And I answered them after the same manner. Now that wall, God's put us on this wall. Hey, and there's plenty, all these distractions, these people, this dark counsel, all of this. All they're trying to do is to get you to come off the wall. I thought we said that work of God. Remember, it's God's work. It's a good work. And even here, he refers to it here. You know, they said, let us rise up and, build for this a good work. He said in chapter 2, but already in Nehemiah's eyes, it's become a great work because it's God's work. And here, and so that crowd's coming and saying, oh, come down to us. And it was already in the valley of, oh, no. I know what I'd have said, oh, no. Oh, no, neighbor, I ain't coming down there with you. I ain't talking to you. Four times they came, preacher. Oh, they kept coming. Oh, talk to us. Oh, debate with us. Oh, you need to give us an answer. No, you don't. They don't deserve an answer. He just said, I answered after the same manner. Why should I come down to you? You know what he did? He didn't even talk about what a bunch of sorry nuts they were. He could have. And that's where the temptation of the preacher is, you know. That's right. Battle them out, you know. Show them what's what. I get it. But here it is. He just said, no, the work's too great for me to come down. He magnified the work. He just said, this is too great. This is more important. Preaching is more important. Winning souls is more important. Hey, getting people out of hell is more important. Amen. Doing something for God is more important. I'll just tell you, the old time religion is more important than for you to come down off the wall for. And then his last, what I had to 2 Timothy, he just said, he's talking again to young Timothy. And he's talking about the things that he has that God has given him, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 2. That's the last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right, chapter 2, I'm sorry, in verse 2. Thou therefore, my son, in verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. What I see here, we've seen the old time religion, it's represented by the path, those old paths, the piece of ground, the point of reference, the planted vineyard, the of course it's alliterated, and the preacher's mantle and the protected wall right here. I see this as the pattern that I'm to commit to faithful men. It's the pattern. Paul said, I've been given something. Isn't that, he said, isn't that what he told us in Jude? He said, the faith once delivered to the saints, that's what he was to contend for. And now what we're seeing in chapter 2, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the things that I preached to you, the life that I've lived, what you've seen me do. See, we've seen it. We saw it in a generation that's already with the Lord. We're seeing and have seen it in the lives of men that followed those men. We've seen it in those that follow those men, and then we'll see it in those that'll follow. But here's the pattern. We again, and it's you know everything. Every point is the same, isn't it? We got the mantle has to be passed. Hey, the vineyard has to be passed. We're right here. This pattern that God's given us, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And I'll just say about this matter the same. That means it's not to be changed. It's not to be changed. You and I have no right to change the pattern that God's given us. The things that God's given us, we have no right to change. We have no right to conform it to something else or deform it into something else that we think might be better. Or well, if we're not careful, then we let culture dictate the word of God. Culture, what does this culture need? What do they need? What they need the word of God that's not changed. They need the word of God that hadn't been conformed or messed with or corrupted, amen. They just need somebody. But he says the same commit thou. And I'll use it again with you fellas. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Somebody, one of you young men, just come up here with me. Just one that wants to. I've got to commit this to somebody. The things that thou hast learned. He would say in another place that you've seen in me do. But he said, the same commit thou to faithful men. All right, bring me a younger man than him up here. Need a younger man than him. There you go, buddy. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Fellas, that's all we got. But I think that's enough, ain't it? I appreciate it. Thank you, man. Why don't you bow your heads?